on. What's up, dude? How are you?
Good. How are you?
First of all, the game looks fucking... Tell everybody who you are and what you do.
My name is Hugo Martin, and I'm the game director on Doom Eternal.
Oh, no! The dragon is back in. Let me tell you something, folks. Hugo just played some of Doom Eternal. He showed us the game and ran through some of the first level. Holy fuck. God damn, it's so next level. It's so next level. Graphics, it's so
cool.
Next. Everything about it. Like the weapons, the demons, the way you kill them. It's the most violent thing I've ever seen in my life.
It's awesome.
It's so ridiculous. But it's like, it seems like it's okay because it's violence against demons.
Yeah, totally. And yeah. And we work hard on that. Like, you never, there's no cursing. I have three kids. There's no cursing. There's no sex. I do want it to be something that my 9-year-old could play.
Don't you think it's kind of crazy that you could rip people's heads off, you could shove their arm down their throat, you could cut them in half? That's fine. Just don't use any of those naughty words, kids.
Yes, because I was joking with someone the other day. It's like, when I'm with my kids, like, he's not going to go up to somebody and, like, glory kill them. But when someone
explain
says,
what a glory kill is, because it sounds too much like glory hole, and people are going to get really confused.
So in the game, when you damage a demon enough, they will glow with like a shader on them, and that means you can go in to do a melee finisher, basically, which is like a melee attack, and you'll get health from it. And there are these really, really cool animations.
And melee, we should explain, is like with your own hands.
Yes.
You can rip them apart or cut them in half with a sword or a chainsaw. Or,
yes.
And it's so crazy.
Like, when my kids see that, they're not going to do that. But when they hear someone use the F word, they're like, oh, I could use that in everyday life. And that sucks.
That's a very interesting rationalization. I'm not buying it. But the game is awesome. It would be cool if you had an R-rated mode that you had to, like, enter in your security number, social security number or something. And it'll unlock it. It shows you're over 21.
That would be funny. That would be awesome.
Or over 18. I feel like over 18. Yeah. And then you just hire your brother. Dude, get in here. I'll give you $5. Unlock this pitch.
That would be awesome. It's cartoonish violence, though. You could see
right.
It. It's very much like a cartoon. You know?
Yeah. And again, you're killing monsters. It's
yes.
Like Walking Dead when they spike them in the head. You can't do that to a person on TV, but you could do it to a zombie.
And they're demons from hell. You're doing God's work.
You have to.
Yes, that's right.
Something you have to. And we should explain that Doom was one of the very first 3D games. It was Castle Wolfenstein, right? That was like the first one with id Software. We've had Carmack in before. He's no longer with
yes.
id Software. But who is Willett still there?
No, he's not there anymore.
God
either.
Damn it. What about Hollingshead?
No.
What the fuck, bro? How's it id Software?
Marty
Change
Stratton.
Change the name. You got a bunch of new people running it. Listen, whoever's running it, they're doing an amazing job because that game looks sick, and I'm scared. I'm scared I'm going to get sucked into it.
It's awesome.
The game. First of all, the gameplay and then just the beginning sequence, the in-game like whole sequence, looks like a CGI movie. It doesn't
yeah.
look like gameplay. Like, remember when we used to play games? And he used to have that opening scene. There was like a video, and then it would go to the game,
totally.
And the game was crude. This game is exactly like the opening scene, which is so crazy.
Yeah. No pre-rendered, that everything, those are the in-game assets. That's how good they are. The team is like insane. The guys are true artists, craftsmen, you know, like they just go crazy on the details. And when you zoom in with the camera for the cinematics, they completely hold up. The rigging, like it's like a feature film. It's nuts.
Are you guys, there it is right now. Let's play the
old trailer.
This is the old trailer?
Yeah,
this trailer's good.
Just play it for people.
It's humanity's chance to repent.
Against all the evil that hell can conjure.
And if you're just listening, you gotta see this on YouTube. And if you're like, I'm a grown-up, I don't have time for this shit. I have an IRA and a 401k and I have kids. Me too, bitch. Me too.
Saving your people will not bring you peace. Only make the burden you carry worse.
For millennia, we have survived. Made others sacrifice in the name of our prosperity. Who are you, a human, to defy our traditions?
Now, if you're just listening, this is just annoying music and noise. But if you're watching, it looks fucking sick.
Watch this.
Oh.
And then it goes, bam, right in the head.
Quickly, there are those who would seek to stop them.
Angels.
Oh, there's angels too? Oh, Jesus. Who Look is he? Oh,
you
shit.
See that?
So he's like the boss demon?
Yeah.
Whoa. God damn, this looks good. Doom Eternal.
It looks awesome.
I anticipate a massive waste of time for people. 320, so that's when it comes out? So
yeah.
What's that, 9 days from now?
Yes.
Wow.
That guy, if you're Bruce Lee, that is your Chuck Norris.
Oh.
Yeah, and you guys are going to... And the whole scene, actually, when you meet him, which is a little clip from that, it's really inspired by that scene. Is it Enter the Dragon or Return of the Dragon when he fights Chuck Norris?
I think it's Enter the Dragon.
Yes. And
I think.
You know, like when they square off in the Coliseum, yes. Like, you know, he comes out and he says some badass shit, and you like look at him and you're going to fuck. Yeah.
What the? Yeah, that's a fucking great scene.
That is a great scene.
Way of the Dragon.
Is it? Really?
Way of the Dragon,
oh,
yes.
Oh, wow. Way of the Dragon.
Or for the Star Wars fans, we say like it's like your Obi-Wan and that's your Darth Maul.
Oh, okay. I like the first analogy better.
Yeah, a little bit more.
It feels like, I don't know, Star Wars has become too Disney-fied. It doesn't really sync up with that.
That fight is badass, though, between Obi-Wan and Darth Maul. And,
yes.
Oh, man, it's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty badass.
Yeah.
That's before it went to shit.
The fights in the prequels were amazing.
Like, yes.
They were really good.
Yes.
I've watched the one against Obi-Wan and Anakin like a million times. Like I love that one. It's so good. Like when they and the lava and shit, and they just go off on each other, and like it's amazing. George described it in an interview that it would be like you would be seeing Jedi at their peak. That really in the first three Star Wars films they were not at their peak, and then in the prequels you would see them in their prime. You know, like Hickson in his prime. So like that's what's so cool about that fight. They're just going off on each other. It's amazing. Mm.
Yeah. Well, what you guys have done is create something that's going to ruin people's lives. So I hope you're really excited about massive waste of time. I mean, we were talking before the show about video games and the addictive quality of video games. I have a real problem. I just can't play them that much.
Yes.
I can dip my toe in every now and then I shake my head and I got to go running or something. Because otherwise it'll get the grip on me.
Yes.
They're too fun. Like, there's no movie that you're going to watch that gives you the kind of engagement that your video game does.
Because you're, like, in the movie.
Yes, and it looks like a fucking movie now.
And you see with the glory kills, like, you are your own fight choreographer. If you're sick of breaking the arm and shoving it in his head, then swing around from behind and cut him in half. You know, like, do anything you want. Yeah, it's awesome.
Now, as far as multiplayer, because I'm not really into playing games, the game. I'm into multiplayer.
So I promise, if you play the single player, what is unique about our single player is that it will give you the same buzz that a multiplayer will give you because your opponents this time are the AI. And that opening level, that's white belts. You're messing with like easy dudes. Later on, it will continue to level up. And as you saw, like that guy that comes out with the axe, like again, he is as tough as you are. So you will get the same feeling from the single player that you do from a multiplayer
experience. That's not really possible. See, because what I like is duels. I like in Quake Champions, I like playing duels. You know, that's what's fun for me. Like one-on-one, like me and Jamie would get barbecued and we'd come here and we'd play for hours just one-on-one. You run around the map and collect your rocket launchers and your ammo and armor and shit and just fuck each other up.
We have a multiplayer called Battle Mode that is fucking awesome. Like it's really, really good. And then
is it like Quake multiplayer? Like the same kind of deal?
No, it's different. It's very unique. The last multiplayer we made was not super well received. It was a really competent, good multiplayer, but
what was that?
I was just Doom 2016's multiplayer experience, but it really wasn't innovative enough. Like fans wanted to see us like do something new, so we basically took the single player experience, that combat loop that you'll master, and then we give you a way to do it with your friends. It's a 2v1, so it'd be, you know, two of you guys versus one guy gets to be the slayer with all the guns. And it's really, really cool. And then there's invasion, so like you'll play the single-player campaign, and then someone can become a demon, like Jamie could become a demon, and then invade you while you're playing. You won't know where he is, and he'll just come out and try to fuck with you.
Mm.
Like, it's really cool.
But is there any one-on-one multiplayer?
Invasion's kind of one-on-one, but battle mode, the closest we come to the one-on-one is 2v1.
Oh, okay. That's weird. Why'd you side 2 versus 1 instead of 1 versus 1?
It's just unique. You know, it's the balance there. No one demon can stand against the Slayer. You know, the Doom guy is all powerful. He's got all these, you know, He's right here. Yeah, he's got all the guns and the mods, and he's got 8 guns.
Why are his bicep exposed? It seems like a vulnerability.
It's like a kind of
a badass.
Pretty much.
If someone comes along and cuts his fucking arm off, it seems like that's a good spot to hit.
His arms are like trees, so like they're
made out of jelly donuts.
they're very
right
large.
Through that shit.
They are so big that in one scene he raises like a sword, and the bicep just like is absurdly huge. But
that's
yeah.
cute, but it's still made out of meat.
That's true. The I forgot what I was saying, but yes, you can compete. Battle mode is really good. You really like it.
Yeah, but why don't you have a 1-on-1?
Because it just didn't work out that way.
Do you anticipate anything like that in the future, like an add-on or?
You never know. Like, certainly, we'll see. But we're really, really proud of this. Like, I think what you want to do is you got to innovate if you want to make something that's really going to engage people like that. The whole point is to like give them something to master that they've never seen before. Because if you're just asking me to master a new version of a thing that I already mastered, sure, a lot of people would appreciate that. But you're not really going to capture like a large audience. So we really created something that was completely unique. And so we're excited.
Now, is there going to be a deathmatch mode where like all of us can get in a room and fuck each other up?
No.
Jesus Christ, well, Hugo, what are you doing?
We have Quake Champions for that.
I know, but we already played Quake Champions. I want to play that. I'm going to use those weapons.
Well,
with that guy. Like, is this the multiplayer, Jamie?
This is the multiplayer.
Jesus Christ, looks crazy.
It is nuts. It's kind of based on a couple of core pillars of like we needed something that had a lot of drama. We wanted something that had a lot of pacing, like the variations in pacing in the match, and something with deep strategy. So, and was primarily innovative, like unlike anything anybody had played before, and was from like it's a multiplayer for people who love Doom Eternal. So when you play the Doom Eternal single player, you'll like this.
Right. It looks so incredible, man.
I mean, fucking awesome.
The graphics are so off the charts.
I just want to play this right now.
I know. I'm looking at this video. Jamie's playing, showing the video of this guy playing, and it's just, it looks incredible.
So he's the Slayer. You're seeing through the Slayer right now, and those two demons that he's shooting with the numbers coming out of them, those are the other guys.
Now, I don't think most people understand the incredible amount of work that's involved in creating one of these things.
Yes.
So, when did you guys start on this?
About 4 years ago.
So it's been 4 years of steady work to make something like this.
And
happen.
In 9 days, we're going to like give it to the world.
Release it.
Yes.
Give
I'm like,
birth.
I'm shaking. I'm
Are
super,
you?
Oh my God, I'm so nervous.
They just canceled E3.
Yes.
Everyone's scared of the goddamn coronavirus.
I know. My wife says I'm going to be in quarantine at the house for 2 weeks when
because
I come home.
Because you come here? I don't think it needs to be 2 weeks. I think it's 4 days as you start showing. Look at you, you're sniffling already.
I'm just nervous.
Psychosomatic. They say that it's 4 days and you start exhibiting symptoms. So
okay. Yeah. I coughed at the airport and people looked at me like I almost wanted to apologize. I was just clearing my throat and I didn't cover my mouth and everybody was like, yeah, it was.
I know. Everybody's on edge.
Yeah.
But meanwhile, the Comedy Store was packed last night.
Dude, we went to PAX East last week with the fans, like lines of fans. And the beginning, everybody was touching elbows. That lasted like 20 minutes, and we were just high-fiving and hugging and stuff.
That's how I was at the store last night. A couple guys were like trying to give you knuckles and rub elbows. I'm like, get the fuck out of here.
It's just
go down together. Come on, give me a hug.
Well, they say, I didn't watch that show yet with that guy that you had, but 50 and up or something, or like?
It's the real problem is people with respiratory issues, people who are overweight, and people who are old. Those are the real problems. Unhealthy people. That's the real issue. That's going to be the real issue. Although Sam Harris did know a guy who's a skier who is 50, who is apparently very healthy and very fit, and he is now on a ventilator, and he was in Italy. I don't know the specifics. You know, sometimes, look, I've got the flu before, and I'm sure you have as well. And sometimes what happens is you're worn down from travel, you're worn down maybe from drinking, you're worn down from too much exercise, and then it gets you. And then if you're not, like, and this is just the common cold. And apparently, the common cold is a type of coronavirus.
I don't know.
Google that. Make sure that's true. But I was reading up on coronaviruses last night. I was like, what? Like, so SARS is a type of coronavirus.
Is this just here now forever? Like, this is a part of the world? Like, coronavirus?
It's a good question. Well, Michael Osterholm, who wrote this book, Deadliest Enemy, and who was on the podcast Tuesday, he opened up a lot of people's eyes as to like what the issue is and what you can do to prevent it. But those wet markets that they have in China are just bananas, man, with the fucking bats on the tables. And coronavirus are large family of viruses that cause illnesses ranging from the common cold to more severe diseases such as MERS or SARS. A novel coronavirus is a new strain that has not been previously identified in humans. So zoonotic or zoonotic, meaning they're transmitted between animals and people. So what's happening is these fucking wet markets, he was detailing how they have chickens that are in one cage and civets that are above the chickens, and the civets are shitting on the chickens, and the chickens are eating the civet shit. And it's
oh my
like
goodness.
It's just a perfect environment to create a disease that's going to jump from one species to the next.
That is scary.
Yeah, and he's like, and many of them have jumped to humans. I mean, all the major, whether it's avian flu, that's from birds, swine flu, obviously from pigs, they jump from farm animals or from these wet markets to people. Yeah, and they're not going to stop those wet markets. So it's like, I mean, that's how people buy their food, which is just crazy. Have you ever seen the videos and pictures of what they look like over there?
No, that seems scary, though.
What do you think? Your game is scary. You want to see what a bat looks like when it's laid out on a table? Apparently, bats are like a common thing to eat. And, bro, when you see what a bat looks like with its mouth open, it looks like it belongs in your game.
That would be good. Good reference.
We were looking at pictures of them yesterday, and they have a table laid out. And then even just on the raw concrete, bats laid out with their mouth open. They look cartoonish. They don't even look real. And they have no wings. Yeah, Jamie's oh my god and over there.
Look how big these bats. These are bats without wings. Holy
shit, dude. That looks like a dog.
They do look like
Unless
dogs.
Those are dogs. Those might be dogs.
Oh, those are dogs, bro. Okay. Those are dogs. Jesus like, Christ. Those are dogs.
Oh, those are bats.
So those are bats. Thing, so look at the teeth on the bats.
Yeah, that's
Look at that. Look at how they all have their mouths wide open like they're trying to bite you.
So
like they die trying to kill you.
And they're gonna cook those?
Yes. That is how this disease got started. Look at that guy smoking.
And he's
cigarettes.
Smoking.
Well, go back to him again. Let me see a big picture of him.
He's triple stacking the
Look at
behavior.
Him. Stacks of bats, smoking cigarettes, like they're eating bats.
That's crazy.
Like, it's just nuts, man. But this is what happens. See, look at all these chickens stacked on top of each other. When you have a billion people, and look at that guy sleeping on top of that cage.
That should be in our game, actually.
Should be. That'd yeah, be like good. If you're hungry, eat a bat.
You could glory kill that thing and get health. That would be good.
Apparently, SARS came from bats as well. So, don't eat bats, kids.
I won't.
But they have to because they're starving. I mean, that's one of the things that China's doing what they have to do. There's too many people, not enough food, and a lot of what they're eating is just, we wouldn't imagine eating it.
Are you not traveling because of this?
I'm not changing shit.
Yeah, that's my wife asked me a lot. Like, she was really concerned about me coming here, and I was like, dude, we got to sell the game. So
I just got back from Vegas, and I was a little nervous while I was over there, but I did everything normal. I went to work out. I ate. So I went to the fights, which is, 20,000 people at the T-Mobile Arena.
Yeah.
All stuffed into this one area, and everybody was acting normal. Everybody was high-fiving and hugging, and fighters, I mean, Jesus Christ, you want to talk about people exposed.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they're sweating, and they're half-naked.
Tyson Fury's trying to lick that dude's blood. I mean, I don't think he's
that
worried.
That was before the big outbreak. Yeah, I'm worried about old people. I'm worried about my parents, for sure. I'm worried about people who are overweight. You know, I have friends that are not healthy that maybe should lose some weight, and I'm worried about them. I'm worried about people with respiratory problems. You know, a good friend of mine has a daughter with cystic fibrosis.
Oh, that's right.
And he canceled his tour. Shout out to Everlast. He canceled his tour because of that. I mean, but he's got, a real concern. I mean, his daughter has a pretty serious lung condition.
That is really scary.
It's horrible. Yeah, and so, look, he's got no choice. He has to stay home and play it safe. And I think a lot of people are going to do that. You know, it's going to be interesting to see how the government handles it. Because one of the things about love or hate Trump, he's willing to do some shit that a lot of people would think would be unpopular, like close down traffic.
Yeah.
Close down flights coming in from other countries that are infected, that have high rates of infection. You know, I mean, I wonder what they're going to do. And I think something really radical has to be done to try to slow down this fucking illness. But I don't know what they can do,
so
honestly.
So are we waiting for it to – I got to watch your show with this guy. Are we waiting for it to go away? Like, I read a quote that, like, when the weather changes, it'll stop or something.
Mm-mm. That's horseshit. Yeah, Michael Osterholm set us straight on that. That's nonsense. He's like, it's not going to have any effect on it. What happens is it just runs through the population, And people develop immune systems that can handle it. You develop an immunity once you catch it. And for many people, it's just going to be like a bad cold. For many people, it's going to be like you're coughing and you just try to get better. Stay home, drink a lot of fluids, be healthy, do your best, and eat healthy, and then get out. You're going to have an immunity to it. And that's what's going to happen on the other end. I saw one guy, he had it, and it was fairly mild. And then they quarantined, and he got over it. He was getting over it and getting better. And then they quarantined him with a bunch of people that also had it. And then he got it even worse, which is interesting. Because I was like, I wonder how he got it again. And I guess probably his immunity wasn't fully developed yet. Mm-hmm. And then it just overwhelmed his immune system. Because there was, you know, he's basically quarantined with a bunch of other people that were really, really sick. But he got through it, and he was talking about it. And all these poor people that are stuck on boats.
Oh, my God. It's crazy.
This is going to kill the cruise ship industry.
Yeah.
I guarantee you that.
We just went on vacation, and I have to say, traveling and like we went to this vacation spot, there's nobody there. It's actually, it's kind of nice.
Honest. You go to Hawaii right now? Woo! Like, you got the whole beach to yourself.
We had everything to ourselves. Yeah. It was amazing. Yeah.
I wonder how this is going to play out. I really do.
We go like, you know, you're even at our hotel eating at the buffets and stuff, but like to your point, I'm just like, fuck it. What are we going to do? Like,
they're closing down buffets. It's one of the things they're doing in Vegas. They're closing down buffets.
Yeah, those buffets are huge. I haven't been to Vegas too many times, but the one time I was there, I had a pretty crazy buffet.
Yeah, I mean, all you can eat, just fucking pig out.
Yeah.
Some of those but that's also how they do it on a lot of cruise ships. They have buffets.
I only went on one cruise ship, and by the end, I wanted to throw up. Like, oh my God. Because the first day, you're like, the food's amazing.
Yeah.
But it's so buttery, gross. And
it's like being stuck on an apartment building filled with drunks, but you're all on the roof, and if you jump off the side, you're definitely dead.
Yes.
And that's what it's like.
They're feeding you the fattiest, grossest, but tasty food.
Yeah.
You know,
well, if you're looking to get fat, that's your move. Some people are just, fuck it, let's go all in. But
I just recently lost 20 pounds.
Did you?
Yeah.
What'd you do?
I was 226. And that was fun, especially, I mentioned earlier, like doing jiu-jitsu, but
Fun just because you could pin people down easier? Extra weight?
More weight to throw around, I guess, yeah.
Did you get tired easier, though?
I did. Like, there's definitely been benefits to losing weight that I actually really like, but my blood pressure and my cholesterol was really high, so...
What did you do to lose the weight?
Well, I went to a Well, really, I gained that weight just from eating like an idiot. I had really bad eating habits, and I had no idea. Like, I didn't know you weren't supposed to eat a shit ton of pasta before you go to bed. Like, you know, and
you didn't know? How old are you?
I'm 43. I don't know.
How do you not know that?
I make video games. I don't know what the fuck's going on. So, like, I know how to do glory kills. So.
Listen, man, I woke up this morning with acid reflux. Not really, but like, well, it felt gross because I ate two tins of sardines last night before I went to bed. Yeah, so I'm not smart either.
I went to a nutritionist, and she just kind of coached me on like basic stuff, and it was remarkable how much weight I lost just by not being, you know, stupid.
You got to just go to bed hungry.
Yes.
You're way better off going to bed hungry than eating a big meal before you go to bed. But I come home from the Comedy Store, and it's late, and no one's home. I've just become an idiot. I just start eating.
That's exactly.
And then I go right to sleep.
I would crunch on the game and like be at the office late, come home, and my wife would make something amazing, but I missed dinner, and it's like, I want to fucking eat. It looks
right
awesome.
There.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that made me super fat, and like it wasn't very, but I was working out a lot, so it was actually, and doing jiu-jitsu, so it was fun being of a larger size, but I'm not supposed to be that big. Like, it wasn't good. My numbers are all much better now.
That's great. And you just, the nutritionist, what did she change?
I kept a food diary, and she read it and just laughed. She's like, she's like, you eat like you're 13. I was like,
well, I work on things for 13-year-olds.
That's it, pretty much.
Yeah.
And I just really... When I was a kid, it was like, finish your food, clean up your plate, swipe up every last bit, watching my dad, he's Argentinian, piles of fucking steak, you know, like, just, I thought that's how people ate. And
that's how you're supposed to eat.
Yeah, but not at like 11 o'clock at night, I guess.
Yeah, I just don't think you're supposed to eat and then go to sleep. It's just not
a
smart move.
I didn't do a vegan thing. I asked her that. I was like, should I not eat? She's like, no, it's kind of the basic stuff I eat. The little bit of all these food groups, and I just eat in moderation. Also, when I moved to Texas, the Asian food scene there is amazing. And the,
oh, really?
It's fucking amazing.
In Dallas? Like, what kind of Asian food?
Vietnamese food is outrageous. The Taiwanese beef noodle soup is fucking amazing, which is like Chinese ramen.
That's interesting that it's in Dallas.
Yeah, I didn't know that either. Dallas is culturally super diverse.
Dallas is a fucking great city.
It's awesome.
It is a great city. I was just there 2 weeks ago.
The food is so good.
And I love it there.
If it's bad for you, they have perfected it. That's for sure. What, in my first week there, I went to the Texas Fair and I had fried pumpkin pie with a scoop of ice cream and hot chocolate. And it was like the best fucking thing I've ever had in my life. But it's so bad for you. Yeah. And so we just
fried pumpkin pie.
It was good.
They don't play games in Texas.
No, the whole fair is just fried stuff.
Well, fairs are ridiculous.
Yeah.
Just going to a fair is ridiculous. Just you're going to get fat just walking through the gates.
I did, you know, definitely. And then honestly, like, the work was so intense by my own doing. I was so into making Doom and still am, but I had to balance it out. Like, I think I was reaching a milestone of like learning how to eat better and sleep right. Like, I was just acting like I was still in college.
And how many hours a day were you guys working? Because when I was friends with the id guys, back, this was like Quake 3 before it came out, like way back then, I was friends with those guys. And when I was doing gigs in Dallas, I'd go to id studios and they'd show me all the stuff.
Yeah. They told me, yeah, it was pretty awesome. I'm embarrassed that I'm coming here and I'm not good at Quake. So, like, I was like, shit, he's going to totally give me garbage.
No, it's okay. But you play with a controller, which should tell people. You play with an Xbox controller, which is quite embarrassing.
I'm pretty good with it, though. But
how do you not use a mouse and keyboard?
I do sometimes.
But that's probably why you're not good at Quake.
Well, Jamie and I were bonding over this. When Quake came out, I was in art school and everybody was using Apple products. So,
right.
Like, literally no one I knew had a PC. Like, one dude in a dorm had PC, and you'd go there and he'd turn on Doom and you're like, holy shit, this is crazy. But like, I mean, I was like an Apple guy hardcore, so I just missed it, you know, like that boat. But I play now and I'm okay. I like playing PUBG. I mean, certain games you have to play you know, mouse and keyboard, and like PUBG and stuff like that. But
Jamie, are computers updated? Is everything's updated?
We were ready to go.
We're ready to go. We'll play afterwards.
No, I'm not very good at all.
Come on, man. You work in the game industry. You have to play a little.
I do.
You can't say I'm not going to play because I'm not good.
No, I will.
Then you're saying to all these kids out there that are not good, don't even start.
Oh, no. I will totally play. Okay. I'm just not. We didn't make Quake Champions. That was made by another team.
Well, they did an awesome job.
They did do an awesome job. Everything that comes out of id is always going to have a certain level of quality.
So it's a different team at id that made Quake Champions?
Yes. It was outsourced, managed by Tim Willits, and then outsourced to, I believe, Saber. And,
so is Willits with them now? Where is Willits?
Willits, I believe, is with them, but I'm going to probably get
shout
that
out
wrong.
To Tim. How are you, buddy?
Yes.
I haven't seen that guy in forever.
And he left a couple months ago, I think. But
so he's retired? Drinking Mai Tais on the beach?
He's with them now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like doing something awesome. I don't know.
Can't tell us?
I don't even know, to be honest.
Okay.
Like this, I'm just head down making Doom.
I get it. So how many days a week are you guys working? When you're in crunch time, are you working 6-7 days a week on this thing?
It's not really crunch. It's funny. I prepared for this interview. I watched all your video game interviews, and I know that crunch comes up a lot. But like this is going to sound hokey. It's like a lifestyle. Like I live and breathe this, you know, like no one makes me stay at the office. And even when I come home, I see my kids, I do my thing, and then I just do research. Like, it sounds ridiculous, not unlike my diet, but like my research is that of a 13-year-old. Like, I play fucking video games and read comic books and just engross myself in pop culture, because essentially what we do is make pop culture content that's pop culture content, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't make sense, but the
no, it makes sense. I know what you're saying.
So you just have to, like, you know, ingest a ton of it, which means that it's 24/7. I mean, I get up really early. I try to do the exercise thing. I couldn't really fit in going to do any kind of training or anything in the afternoons because it was just family and stuff. So I try to do that in the mornings, and then I come home and put the kids to school, and then I have like about 2 hours where the house is empty and I'll just play games, you know.
Oh, so you're training real early then?
I do. It's horrible, but I do the 6 a.m. one, which is fucking holy shit, dude.
Yeah. So you're up at 5, shove something in your mouth.
No, not anything. I made that mistake. I drank a protein shake once before training. That was a fucking disaster. Holy shit. So I don't need anything. I drink water. I didn't even know what the hell I was doing. Again, I didn't knew nothing of nutrition. So I was like, it's 5:30 and I got to be healthy. I'm going to drink this. And like,
yeah, you can't train.
Neon belly. I'm like, dude, this is we're going to have a serious fucking problem in like 2 seconds.
Yeah, yeah. It's the same thing with yoga, hot yoga. I've tried to do it after breakfast. You literally can't do it.
I'm tired, too. Like, so I'm pretty much just water, you know, and it's only an hour, so I could kind of get through it. I don't know if this BCAAs are helping or not, but I sometimes put that in my water just because other
BCAAs,
people...
BCAAs, branched chain amino acids.
Is that good? That.
Yes, for sure, yeah. Good before you train and after you train.
Yeah.
Yeah, and depending upon who you ask, you know, there's different protocols.
Just for a little extra juice, you know, I don't know, like to help, because I get a lot of muscle strains, so...
Strains?
Yeah, like in my calves and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like
cramps? Is that what you're saying?
I guess.
Like, you taking any electrolytes?
They're going away because I'm hydrating. That was another thing the nutritionist said was that I was probably dehydrated way more than I realized. So
sure.
I'm drinking water, like, and it's actually working. Like, I actually feel like I'm getting less of those. And I'm also hungry less. Like, one of her things was that probably some of what my cravings are for food is that I'm actually thirsty. So I would now I like chug a big glass of water, and the cravings do kind of, those 11 o'clock cravings kind of subside a little bit. But yes, I try to do it in the mornings. It's just super, super rough.
Yeah. Over the last couple of weeks, last week in particular, I've been drinking a shitload of water. Just a shit. Like last night at the Comedy Store, I must have drank 7 bottles of water, which is great until I got home. I got up to pee 3 times in the middle of the night last night. I'm like, fuck.
Yes.
I'd wake up. It's like 3 in the morning. I'm like, God damn it. Can I hold it in? No. Shit. And I just kept doing it, man. 3 times I got up to pee.
So you would agree that just, I mean, obviously, right, just drinking shit
drink
tons.
A shit ton of water, but I believe in electrolytes. I think electrolytes are very important, and I think you should find a good company that... you know, sells electrolytes you can pour into your water and will make a
difference.
Do you
have one that you would recommend?
I use Liquid IV. It's a sponsor of the podcast, for full disclosure. But I actually enjoy it. And even if it wasn't a sponsor, I would absolutely use it. It tastes good. You pour it in there. It's got like salt, a little bit of sugar, and a lot of electrolytes. And it's just fucking really good for you.
That's awesome.
It's supposed to rehydrate you twice as fast as water itself.
Oh, wow.
It's twice as well as water itself.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, so I pour one of those into a bottle. I like to do that before I work out. You know, it's also something that gives you like a, you know, little bit of calories. Not much, but...
Do you do anything during? Like, is that...
Just water.
Just so the electrolyte stuff or the BCAAs before or after, but not during?
I don't do it. I mean, maybe I'm wrong about that, but I don't.
I wouldn't know.
The most I ever do is if I'm training really hard... Like if I'm doing something really crazy, then I'll drink something with electrolytes while I'm working out, like a Gatorade or a Powerade or something like that, just to try to replenish my glucose levels.
Is that good to drink Gatorade while you're doing exercise?
Sure.
Okay. Because yeah, I feel bad. Like it is. Like when I'm pretty exhausted, I have to be honest. They have little bottles of Gatorade. Mm-hmm. I do get energy.
Yeah. I mean, there's a reason why athletes you drink it. They're not assholes.
That's true. You know? I don't know. They're always drinking the logo's on the cup, but I'm like, is that like some kind of special powder?
The issue with things like Gatorade or Powerade or any of those, you know, sports drinks, air quotes, is if you're not doing sports, you shouldn't be drinking them.
Yeah.
It's like if you're just laying around drinking Gatorade, there's a fuckload of sugar in that shit. But if you're running hills or if you're rucking with like a 50-pound backpack on and you're goddamn exhausted, well, if you drink one of those things, it'll give you some energy and it'll replenish some electrolytes and give your body some glucose. There's some benefits to that stuff. It's just when to use it and where and why you use it is what's important. But there's definitely benefits to taking those sports drinks.
Your facility out there is fucking awesome.
It's pretty dope. I love it.
The bat thing?
Clubbells? Yeah.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
I've never done any kettlebells. I need to, though, because I don't know that my...
I can show you some of the stuff. It's pretty easy. If you have, like, a lightweight kettlebell, you could learn it. You really should start with a lightweight one so you don't hurt yourself.
Who's the guy who works for you? He's got the beard. I met him first.
Taylor?
Taylor, I think. He has a black T-shirt on.
Jeff?
Yeah, Jeff. And I shook his hand, and I was like, my goodness, I think you've been tossing around.
He's just corn-fed.
Seriously, it was like...
He's a big old fella.
You've been doing something, dude.
Yeah, they're big fellas. The great thing about kettlebells or clubbells, those clubs, is that you're using your whole body. You know, that's the thing about those things. It actually enhances your athletic ability. It enhances your ability to do sports, particularly jiu-jitsu, like things like Turkish get-ups. You ever do Turkish get-ups?
I was joking with my friend yesterday. So, no, I've seen them. I think if you put the word Turkish in front of anything, it usually means it's pretty gnarly. So, like...
Turkish sauna, yeah. Turkish bath.
Turkish prison. Like,
right. Like, Midnight Express. Wasn't that a Turkish prison?
Yes. That is the magnifier for everything.
Turkish. That's funny. Turkish wrestling. Yeah, true.
Right. But I've never done one, but they look pretty serious.
They're legit. Turkish get-up's one of my favorite exercises because it's not romantic. It doesn't give you big pecs. But, man, for jiu-jitsu, it's a real game changer.
And that's with the one leg. Like, you have one leg out, one leg.
Well, you start off on your back. You start off laying on your back. You press the kettlebell up, and then you sit up. And then once you sit up, you get one leg under you. And then you go up, and then you go all the way up, stand straight up, and then drop all the way back down. And you should watch a video. Ideally, you should find a coach and have someone correct all your form so that you have it down, and then you can do it on your own. But the beautiful thing about that is, like, you could have a kettlebell and you sit in your office and just for 5 minutes, just do Turkish get-ups for 5 minutes and do it a couple times a day, and it'll change your body.
That's
awesome.
It'll
change your core strength and your shoulder strength and your shoulder stability, because you got this thing overhead at the end of it, and then you're dropping it back down, and you know, resting your body back down and starting all over again. It's a very difficult exercise.
I think working with someone is what I need to do, because at 43, I'm finding that, like, I injure myself because I'm not exercising correctly. Clearly I'm not doing anything correctly. But like, I'll try to do some extra stuff outside of training to, you know, work on things, and there's always something. And then when I get something, it fucks everything up for months. Like, I did something to my bicep, and I couldn't do half the shit I needed to do, you know, in the morning, in training. Like, it was a pain in the ass. So, actually, I'm not really doing anything anymore. I do just some basic, simple shit. But, like,
Simple shit is fine. Like, just body weight squats, chin-ups, push-ups, stuff like that.
That's it. Yeah.
All that stuff's real good for you. The thing is, like, you're doing something right because you got a purple belt, right?
And yes.
So, congratulations on that.
Thank you.
But also, you know, you're doing jiu-jitsu. That's a fucking hard thing to do, man. It's like...
I got to do something, because when I wasn't doing it, I got the kids and the work, because it is a lifestyle, but it's also a lifestyle that involves sitting on your ass, staring at a TV screen.
Yeah. What kind of chairs do you guys sit in to keep you from getting back pains and stuff?
I don't really sit that much. Like, for me,
standing desk?
No, I'm just walking the whole fucking time, like just walking to this thing, walking to that thing. And then we just have pretty basic desks, but a lot of people do standing desks for sure. And I like those a lot too. I don't have one. But because, again, I don't really sit anywhere specific. I have an office, but I'm never in it.
Always moving around, talking to different people about this and that.
Which is good, because when I sit for too long, my lower back, I got like a bulge in the lower back area. I don't know. And if I sit too much, it kind of bugs me. But
everyone who does jiu-jitsu has something going on with their back.
Yeah, I'm a little worried about that, because I found a thing that you get the kids, and before it, I was like, you know, roughhousing with them, and you're fucking breathing heavy, and it's just like, shit, dude. And so I'm like, what can I do? I'm like, I don't fucking like basketball. I think running sucks. Like, I don't want to just work out. Like, you know, so I did this, and it became a fun, engaging way to get healthy.
Like, it's a game. You know, you're playing a game.
It's all, like, it cleans up everything.
Yeah.
Like, I can't eat shitty food because I'm going to feel like shit on the mat. So, like,
it
had this ripple effect in my life that was fucking amazing.
Yeah.
And a really healthy pursuit. But the back thing, is that guaranteed that, like...
Well, there's things you can do to mitigate it, and I'll show you some of the things that we have here at a machine called the Reverse Hyper. Unfortunately, this just came up on a podcast yesterday as well. Reverse Hyper machine, which is a great machine for strengthening your lower back. And then there's one of my sponsors is Teeter. They make those inversion tables, and they have this thing called the DEX, and it's like you bend over. It's a DEXX. Is that what it is? Just one X, and you bend over at the waist, and it just like decompresses your spine and relaxes everything.
I'll show
it to you afterwards. I'll show it to you afterwards.
Because I want to keep doing it for health reasons.
Like, yeah,
it,
no,
I
for
found
sure.
something that is a good add. It adds something to my life in a healthy way.
Yeah,
so.
I love it. It's awesome, but it does beat you up. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
I've seen you wearing your gi in some pictures. Are you wearing your gi again and training more with your gi? Did you always train with your gi, or like?
Well, I trained with the gi and no gi. I have a black belt in both.
I know, but like I
It seemed, I could be completely wrong. It seemed like you were doing a lot of no-gi for a while.
A lot of no-gi, yeah.
But lately it seems like you're wearing the gi again, but I could be completely wrong.
No, I think both are good. I think there's nothing wrong with the gi. What the gi teaches you is defensive postures. It teaches you defensive techniques better because you can't pull out of everything. So you have to do everything with proper technique. You can't just, because when everything gets slippery and it's no gi, you just pull out of stuff.
Sure.
But you can't do that if someone has a hold of your sleeves and they get their fist fully wrapped in there. Like, you're not getting out, and then you're just going to get deeper in. You got to use technique. You got to use the proper defense.
Do you have a preference or just it's all good?
I think both are good. Look, if you live in a place where people are wearing winter coats, learning how to fight with a gi is great.
Yeah,
because, you know, you grab a coat. I mean, a coat is like a weapon that a person's wearing on them. Like, you use their own coat against them.
I saw a great podcast clip with you and Guy Ritchie, and you were staring at his tie, and you were, like, salivating because, yeah, like, thing with ties.
I always tell people, man, if you have a tie, you should have, like, a Velcro thing in the back. Just take a nice tie, put it on, tighten it up, and then snip the back, and then sew in some Velcro so it seals up like this so that if you could just – someone yanks on your neck, it just pulls that tie off.
Yes. That's the,
just put on Paranoid.
Totally.
But, I mean, your collar itself, right? Like,
yeah.
A good shirt collar – you could choke someone with that. You know, you did an Ezekiel choke with that.
I like the community.
With your sleeves. You could use your own sleeves. You can, I mean, you could collar choke in someone, one of those chokes with a good, like, stiff dress shirt. You can get in there pretty deep.
A collar choking somebody with a dress shirt on, that would be pretty
sick.
You
totally could.
Yeah.
But with a jacket, like a leather coat, that person's a dead man. Like, if you had a street fight with a judo player and you're wearing a leather jacket, good luck.
Yeah.
You're going to get thrown in your head.
Our head instructor does a lot of judo stuff, and his fucking grip is, oh my God. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, they have crazy core strength, too. Those guys have crazy upper body and core strength because they're so used to just, everything is throwing you in.
But you, like, when they're demoing and they grab your collar and you're just like, what the fuck, dude? Like, I'll never get this off.
Hand strength. Like, yeah. A lot of them, what they do is they take gis or towels and they throw it over a chin-up bar and they do chin-ups by just holding onto the towel or holding onto the gi.
There's a wiry, like, every muscle is, like, taut with those guys, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy. Even if they look skinny, like, they grab a hold of you, you're like, holy shit, dude.
Well, you look at their hands and you see their knuckles are all inflamed.
God. Yeah.
Every knuckle, like, sticks out that far. That's, you see it a lot with jiu-jitsu guys.
That's
as well.
The truth. Like, the ears, totally telltale sign, don't fuck with that guy. Mm-hmm. But if the knuckles are fucked up, you should just do whatever that person says.
Like, have you seen Megaton Diaz's hands?
Dude, holy shit. Yeah. They are like, I mean.
See if you can find an image of Megaton Diaz.
Is that arthritis? Is that what that
is?
Yeah.
So
is he like. So he's in pain.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you'd have to ask him. But goddamn, I do that guy will rip your neck right off.
Oh,
like
my God.
One of them Steven Seagal movies. They could do it for real. Like Roadhouse.
I was just going to say that. But dude, remember. That's like one of my favorite movies. Like that scene where he does that. That bad guy is fucking crazy. Like he just, I used to fuck guys,
fuck
like,
guys
you.
Like you in prison.
I remember being a kid being like, holy God. Jesus God.
That movie's so good in all the worst ways. See, look at Megaton Diaz's hands.
Yeah.
Look at his knuckles.
So
that's just one image of him. There's a bunch of images of him with his knuckles.
Yes.
His hands are just gnarly. And that, I mean, there's a lot of jiu-jitsu guys like that.
You know, what is so, it's been said a million times, they are also, the community around it is, that's another part that I really fell in love with because it's like dad jitsu where I go. Like, we all want to get in shape. And there's younger guys who are really athletic and old. We have one woman who's 72 because her son is there and her son's a fucking beast. And he fucking did this to me. But it's just awesome. Like, we're all trying to get healthy and we're learning shit and we're helping each other. Like
that's
fucking
great.
Yeah, it's fucking great, dude. I love it.
Yeah, it's an awesome way to exercise. I'm wondering if one day they're going to be able to figure out some sort of a virtual reality learning game. It's one of the things that I talked with Carmack about. And I was like, I see, because Carmack has done some martial arts himself. And I was like, I see, he's actually very good at judo and jiu-jitsu. Yeah. And he's really talented.
Apparently, he choked somebody out at the office once. I think the person asked for it. But there's some story of like, they wanted to see if John could do it. And he was like, okay. And just like.
Like a robot. Okay. I'll choke you out now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I overlapped with him by like a month, and he said one thing to me, and it was pretty cool. He told me not to put grates in the game because they don't look good. And I was like, yes, sir, that will never happen.
Grates.
Like, something
like
to do.
On, like grates you would run on?
Something with grates, when you look at them at an angle, they like do. Oh. All the tech guys right now are like, Jesus, Hugo. Like, it's very specific. But yeah, he just told me not to do that. And I was like, I will not.
That's
and,
all he told you?
Yes. He's super nice. You know, I didn't yeah. know. I didn't know what to say to him. You know, like, I had no reason. I didn't want to bother
look,
him.
Look, that's me and him.
That is awesome. Yeah. He is, the dude's legit. It, yes. All, the founders of id, John Romero, that guy, like, I mean, I really feel like we're standing on the shoulders of geniuses when we make this game. Like, the a lot of what makes Doom Eternal good is what they did in their game. Like, the, yeah. the rocket launcher is such a well-balanced weapon in the original Doom game, and we took a lot of inspiration from that. And the fucking characters are so well-designed, the Pinky and the Cacodemon and the sounds they make. The game still holds up to
yeah,
this day.
It does.
Like, straight fucking legit geniuses.
Even with the clunky old school graphics, it's still very immersive.
It's actually adds to the charm, because when you look at it now, it just looks like a fucked up Saturday morning cartoon. Seriously, it's like something they would make on Adult Swim, you know?
Yeah, well, Quake 1 became a big hit even after Quake 2 and Quake 3. A lot of guys went back to Quake 1.
Yeah.
Because it was like a faster game, and it was like, and a lot of times guys actually cut all the textures out anyway.
Yeah, so they could see everything.
Yeah, which is really weird.
I just last year played through Quake 1 single player and Quake 2 single player campaign with mouse and keyboard. Yes, mm. You would be very proud. But I didn't play the multiplayer. But I actually am going to just become awesome at Quake Champions.
Really? Let's start today.
I'm down. Very often, part of my research, like when I play, is to, I have to achieve, I don't want to, like, I have to reach mastery in a game to understand, to find the fun. Like,
yeah.
Part of the research that you have to do when you're designing a game and when you play other games, to remain, to, so that we understand, like, how other games are working successfully or not, is to play them long enough to achieve mastery, so you really, you feel that addiction, you feel that engagement yeah. level, and you're like, okay, I know how they did this. I know what I'm feeling right now.
Do you take like professional gamers and bring them in for
yeah.
consultation and say, how do you feel about this?
Absolutely. We watch, and certainly we talk to them, but it's dangerous, because if you, so absolutely. But it's kind of like, would you want Michael Jordan designing the next sports game? Like, it's kind of like, he can tell you, it's sort of like the guy who builds the race car might not be the best guy to drive it. Like,
but hold on. Here's what's wrong with that analogy. You're talking about Michael Jordan in a game. I'm talking about game players. So
yes.
If you bring in game players to tell you about a game is a good idea. Bring in Michael Jordan and tell you how to play a video game based on basketball, probably not a best idea.
No, definitely not. We do. We talk to them. Yeah. Absolutely. But point I was making was just that, like, you could fall into a little bit of a trap. It's absolutely part of the process. It's the smart thing to do. Again, like, if you're building a race car, you go talk to race car drivers
right.
and say, like, how does it feel? What do you think? Like, well, this is loose. That feels odd. Okay, we'll go fix it, you know?
So how does a game like Doom Eternal start? Does it start? It starts with a meeting. You say, hey, we are thinking about doing this. What do you think? And then how does it get the green light? How does a game like that get going? Were
we
you
have,
there from the very beginning?
Yes. We have a green light. I've been there for 7-8 years
now. So what happens?
We have a green light process where we put together an overall idea. Marty and myself, you know, work very closely. Marty is the studio director and executive producer.
Shout out to Marty.
He's awesome. He's the boss. He is the shit.
So what you guys say, like, someone comes up with a, say, what are we going to do for our next game?
We talk. Like,
okay.
It's, you know, making games is fucking awesome. Like, it is. It's the fucking coolest. Like, I can't believe that this is my job. Like,
that's,
it's
awesome.
Yeah,
that's what everyone wants.
You stick a dynamite and a crowbar wouldn't get rid of me and fucking id Software. Like, I can't get enough of making Doom games. But
you hit the jackpot. It's like, what people want to do for a living is do something where you go to work and you're like, I can't believe this is my job.
Oh, so that's why when I go to play and to do the work, I'm like, I'm not fucking working. Like,
right.
Seriously, you
yeah.
know? Like,
that's awesome.
So, which can get a little out of hand, I guess, sometimes. But the in terms of, like, balance and, like, doing other things and, like, get up and exercise or do something.
Right.
But me and Marty, we talk quite a bit, and it's commercial art, you know. It's
business and art and creativity coming together, and we have a schedule and we have to work out the budgets and stuff like that. But ultimately we begin with like a conversation about like what it is we want to do. We're talking all the time, he and I, about stuff. And then we talk to other, you know, people on the team. But essentially it begins with the executive producer and the director of the project getting together and talking. Then we work very closely with our publisher. And you start to formulate a plan, and we had a plan and a good one for Doom Eternal. And it's cool because we just recently had a meeting with our publisher where we were able to bring up some of the things that we talked about 3 years ago, and they are working now, which is a good sign. Like, you are pivoting a lot during development, for sure. Like, okay, that didn't work. Let's try something else. But
and what do you base it on? It didn't feel fun to do, or yeah, it didn't look cool?
We call it just steering into things. That feels good, steer into that. That feels good, steer into that. You're always steering into the fun. Like, you let the game tell you what it wants once there's enough of it on the table to judge.
So what are the first processes? Like, when you say, okay, you got the green light, it's time to make a game, what's the first things that get done? Is it design? Do you sort of design what the players look like? Is it the coding?
It's like everything. I mean, they begin the engine, all the different processes.
Is it a unique engine? Are you using an existing engine?
And this is very good questions for Marty, the executive producer. But yes, they begin making the engine based on what they want to do next and the goals there. And that has to, like, this is the engine of the race car, and we're discussing the kind of race car we want
to
make. So
we should explain to people what we're talking about. We're talking about a 3D engine. That's, yes, oftentimes what happens is, like, say, another video game can license your 3D engine and use it with different graphics to make other games,
yeah,
and that's a common thing.
Yes.
The 3D engine is what we're talking about, which is every game has a different feel. It's like some people, like when during the Quake days, some people were really into Unreal. Right, remember that game, Epic,
yeah,
Games, and they were like, "This game has a different engine. I love the way this engine feels."
Yes,
you know, because they all have different sort of
Carmack
physics.
Made, yeah, some good fucking engines. Yeah.
Oh my God, did he?
He's a smart guy.
Well, he recognized the balance of speed to like real world physics versus this sort of cartoonish shit. Like, what's the fun balance? It seems like Quake 3 was like a really fun balance, whereas Quake 2 was a little slower. Quake 1 was way crazier, way faster, but didn't look as cool.
What is your favorite?
Champions.
That's
Quake
awesome.
Champions is the best.
Tim is happy.
It's the best.
That's awesome.
It's the best. It's everything
as
in
it should
Quake.
Be.
Yeah, it's everything in Quake, but ramped up. I don't like all that stupid shit, like when Lizard spit on you and it's poison, you run through it. Like, that's weak. But the weapons are really well balanced, and the maps,
yeah,
are amazing, and the graphics are off the charts. The graphics are so cool. Like, while you're playing it, you're like, what the fuck?
Dude, it's crazy. And the artists are so amazing. I mean, the work they do is so inspiring. That's the coolest thing. Like, you love what you do. You love the medium that you work in. I feel so fortunate because, and I speak for all of us at the team, we fucking love the type of game we make. I mean, you just saw it, dude.
It's so cool.
It's fucking absurd. It's like
so
an
cool
R-rated psycho cartoon. But
yeah,
it's not mean-spirited. That's what I really like about it. Like, it's kind of, it's cool. It's like
fun.
It's fun. Fun. That was actually our main focus.
And you're killing demons. Like,
that's
it's fine. It's just like Walking Dead. You're allowed to kill the zombies.
Don't
feel bad.
The whole purpose is to make something we talk about quite a bit, like the emotional response of the consumer, like how you feel when you play something, and we want you to smile. Like, certain games, they want you to be scared, which is good. Survival horror games, I'm on my heels. I'm like, oh my God, you know, what's around the corner? In Doom, we want you on your toes, smiling, like just fucking barreling forward. Like, what am I going to murder next? Like, where is it? You know, but it's frivolous and it's fun and it's junk food. But as we say, there is quite a bit of nutritional content in there. Like, it's a smart game.
Is there any pushback against these kind of games? Like, when you guys produce a game like this or create a game like this, is there any where people are like, this is too violent, this is awful, this
not,
is...
Not really, because it's not against humans. Like, it's not... There's no agenda, like, it's not... I guess, yeah, we don't really deal with that because you're murdering cartoonish-looking fucking demons, you know?
Right.
And dude, believe me, like, we take full advantage of that. Like I said, you
shoot
straight up Steven Seagal, these motherfuckers, right in the head. Like, it's awesome. And
I don't think you should say Steven Seagal anymore, and definitely don't use it as a verb. It's way more violent than any Seagal movie. But
that is true. But like I always got a kick out of his hyperextending of the limbs,
the breaking moves. Of the arms.
Yeah, in that one in particular, that Glory Kill 2, we were like, there's one pose in the animation where you hold out his arm and he's like, because that's like what guys always do.
What I'm holding out hope for is some sort of Oculus version of Doom or of Quake or something like that, where you have like a unidirectional treadmill and you're locked into it. You've seen those things, right? Was it omnidirectional? Is that what it's called? Omnidirectional treadmill.
There's Doom VFR, which is pretty cool. Like they made it, and it did really well, actually. And
really?
It's, yeah. It's,
where is it? Pull up that. Yeah. Doom VFR. Have you heard of it, Jamie?
I was telling him I have it, but I have not played it because came in my little cycle of like getting where I couldn't stand up for a long period of time.
Oh, your
like,
back issue? Yeah.
Yeah.
Jamie broke his butt.
We kind of removed.
Care?
We removed those things from the office, the thing that he hurt himself on.
Oh, the hoverboards?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
So one minute people are laughing. Check this out. Next minute, some dude's ankle is just straight fucking hanging off his leg.
So this is the VR version of Doom?
Yes. It is.
Oh,
that
looks pretty goddamn good. And so how are you moving around?
You're teleporting, just like he did.
Yeah, but how are you walking?
I think that's it. I think
you just teleport? Stand still?
I didn't work on this, so I don't really know how the movement works.
Do you know, Jamie? Like, how are you going through all this?
There's a little line that shoots out that's mm-hmm. like where you're teleporting to.
Yeah.
Oh, so you stay... this is work. You can't move?
I mean, that's how they had it. That's a couple years old now, so they've figured out some new things. Some new controllers and stuff. But
well, the graphics look dope, but if you're just teleporting to each spot and then standing still and punching people, that's ridiculous. That's how you do it, huh? And then you go forward.
Well, I'm not doing it justice to because I didn't work on this, so I couldn't really tell you how the movement actually
works. Obvious. It's pretty obvious that that's what you do. You're teleporting with that green bolt. Have you ever, you know what Sandbox is? Have you ever fucked with that?
No.
Sandbox VR?
No.
It's really cool. There's a company in Woodland Hills, or there's a studio in Woodland Hills, and there's another one. There's a couple of them around the LA area. But anyway, you put a haptic feedback vest on, you put a helmet, VR, everything, plastic guns, and then you go and fight things. And there's one where you go and shoot. This one's great. This one is called Something Mansion. What is it called?
So they have one of these in Texas.
Zombies.
Yeah, I want to
do
this.
Dude, it's the shit.
Yeah, that seems amazing.
It's really fun. Rats come out. You got to gun the rats down. So you are in this room. And like this is – see, they keep cutting back for what is actually happening and what the people see.
Sure.
But when you're there live and you see it, it's fucking killer. It's really cool.
That is
really
awesome. Fun.
And they're getting better at these things. They have like a sort of a –
that character's cool.
That's the boss that comes and gets you. Deadwood Mansion, that's that one. I love that one.
That's awesome.
There's a Star Trek game. There's quite a few of them. I think they have four or five different little experiences that you can do.
That's
really,
awesome.
Really, really fun.
Don't they have a Star Wars one?
Perhaps.
That's the Void has that, yeah.
Okay.
The Void. That's different, right. Kind of the Void's different. Yeah, I've done the Star Wars one. That's at Disneyland. In Disneyland, downtown Disneyland, before you get to the park, you could go and do the Void ride, which is actually better than any of the rides in downtown Disney or in Disneyland itself.
Is that the one with the Avatar flying the Necron or whatever the hell those things are called in Avatar World when you're flying on the thing?
That is in Disney World.
Okay.
Not Disneyland. Disneyland is LA. LA for land. But Disney World in Orlando has this thing called Flights of Passage, which is fucking amazing. It's the greatest.
They're called
absolutely the greatest ride.
Ikrons, I think.
Yeah. You ride one of those dragons in Avatar.
That's
and
awesome.
It's incredible.
I would love to do a VR thing where you're like one of the Colonial Marines from Aliens 2, like running through it. That'd be fucking awesome. And they're coming out. They're coming out of the goddamn walls.
Yeah, you could do something like that.
Hudson.
That's
that guy was awesome.
That's my hope for the future, is that games are like that, and you're actually going to be able to exercise doing that. Because
sure.
I think that if you had a game where you're in a warehouse and you're actually running for your life, you know, and demons are chasing you and you're shooting down things, like your heart rate would be jacked. You could do that for an hour and get a sick workout in and have an amazing good time.
That would be awesome.
You can get in great shape running from demons.
You would. I wouldn't have to get up so early in the fucking morning.
Well, think about this game. If you could play this game, but you could play this game in a warehouse, where, you know, you have all of the boxes and all those stairs. They're all real stairs and real boxes.
Yeah,
you're,
yeah.
You're running around this pre-designed map, and you're actually engaging with these VR demons with a haptic feedback suit.
Fucking glory killing them.
Yeah.
Ripping out their parts.
You're really
awesome.
Into this glory killing, but the really problem with this calling it glory killing is it sounds too much like glory hole. It really
so,
does. Right, Jamie?
Yeah, they
Do
have,
you agree?
They have a new ride that got announced today for, I guess, out here at Disneyland, the new Marvel
Comics
Avengers
Universe. Yeah.
campus is going to be opening up mm-hmm. in the summer. They have a Spider-Man ride where it sounds like you put on a 3D headset, I think just goggles, and somehow they're tracking your hands. So during the ride, you shoot things for points.
Oh.
And then there's
with
a
spider web.
Then there's a leaderboard
That's awesome.
Outside the ride. For like weekly, daily, and monthly stuff, so like you and your family can get tracked and be like, "Oh, we're the best at this ride." Suck our dicks.
Oh, you're gonna get addicted. That's how they get you.
The
that sounds so awesome.
The level of sophistication going on with the games, whether you're mouse and keyboard or controller, though, it would be hard to achieve in VR. I think VR offers like a very specific, unique, and fucking amazing experience. And I would just like. Separate the two, like, you know, when we're making VR games, we're definitely trying to do something else, which is cool in and of itself. But there's like, not only just in our game, but in a lot of games, like there's just resource management. There's like high level skill meta shit happening. I mean, you know, you play fucking Quake, so like.
Yeah.
You know, that's hard to reproduce in VR in certain ways, at least at this time. But I think that's the thing. Like, it happens a lot in games where people want to take how you feel or how a movie engages you and apply it to a game. And I think it's like, let a game be its own. Let a game be a game. Let a movie be a movie. Let VR be its own fucking experience. Like, that looks fucking awesome. Like,
yeah.
But yeah, if we just, yeah. So, I would love to kill, we have the VR game. I should just play it. But
what I'm saying is, like, if someone made a Doom warehouse, where you guys take a 14,000 square foot warehouse, just outfit it specifically for Doom. You got a line around the block of psychopaths waiting to play that thing for 1 hour. I mean, seriously, especially somewhere like Texas where there's a bunch of warehouses. Like, you can find some warehouse district where you can get three or four of them and set them up for different maps in the game.
That'd be fucking awesome.
God damn, man. I mean, they're real close to being able to do something like that where it would be really accurate too, where you could have like a laser sight on your rifle and, you know, you could see things through your goggles and...
That'd be fucking badass. Although...
It's the future.
It is.
It's the future, Hugo.
It's a lame... Well, it's not lame. You know, Carmack can do anything he wants, but he's doing AI now. Like, he's not doing VR anymore. I heard he was just consulting with Oculus, but now he's pursuing AI.
Well, let's be honest. He's too smart.
He is.
He's too smart. He's from another planet. Him and Elon Musk can get together and share notes.
Yes,
They're both super wizards.
Yeah, totally.
He's, I'm sure he feels challenged by AI.
Yeah.
And, you know.
He likes a challenge.
He's a very interesting guy to talk to, too. I really enjoy talking to him.
Yeah, he is awesome.
And you really think about what he's accomplished in the world of video games. I mean, he's the Mac Daddy.
Amazing.
He really is. He's the guy who started it all, really. If you enjoy 3D games, that's the guy.
That's why working at id Software, and he totally is the guy, and along with the rest of them, too, like Romero and those guys, like they, that mm-hmm. group, fuck, that's
Do you
like,
know him? Do you know John Romero?
I've met him a couple times, you know.
That Daikatana game, he took a lot of shit for that game. That was a fun game.
Yeah, yeah.
It took way too long, and there was a lot of bugs in it and all that good stuff, but dude, I played it when it came out. I was like, this game is fucking badass.
That guy is all of them. They're like the Beatles, you know.
See,
like,
it was like Daikatana was like the physics of Quake 1,
mm-hmm.
but with the graphics of that era. See if you can find a video of a Daikatana in game. It was a fun game, and I was like, this might catch on, but people were down on it before it ever came out. There was so much shit talk about it because it took so long and cost so much money, and they had these giant offices in Dallas with this huge penthouse.
Yeah.
They're spending so much money.
I personally think they some of the best work that they... Yeah, look at that.
No, this game was made by just...
That's a little dark.
Yeah, it's this image right here is dark.
Yeah.
This is not the best video in terms of like what you're able to see in-game stuff.
Yeah. There was a lot of hype and certainly
see if there's some other video because that's like so dark, you can't see anything. Is that it?
Man, it was hard to
online?
Yeah.
On the internet?
Bring up a bunch of other stuff.
Oh yeah.
I think the best work that they did was when they were all together.
Yes.
Like keeping the band together.
Mm-hmm.
That honestly, it's making games is definitely a team sport, and you got to have everybody working together really well if you want to pull it off.
Like, you also have to have like Division One pro athletes. Pro. You know, I mean,
rock stars.
Division One's not a good idea. If you're gonna make a game, you need everybody to be the same level of dedication, same level of hard work.
Rock stars.
Yeah. One of the things. Okay, this is it. Oh, this is. Yeah. Why does he have a sword? I never saw this. Usually it's like. What is this? I don't think this is the game, dude.
It's not it? It's no. Daikatana.
No, this is not it.
Okay.
It might be.
Maybe
I don't know.
It's a mod.
I mean, maybe it's a mod. I never saw it like that. What I saw was a lot of cool rocket launchers. Like, this is one rocket launcher that would shoot and it would come out like DNA strands.
Sure,
remember
sure.
Remember the rocket where like two rockets would twist at the same time? They go back and forth. Yeah, this is what the game looked like. It's just dark. It's just really dark for whatever reason.
I got sword again.
Huh. Maybe like some levels you get a sword. I never saw it. I never saw this either. This looks weird.
I think this is the game though.
Yeah, I think so too. It's been fucking forever since I played it.
I know that Romero likes what we're making, which is a huge compliment.
What is he up to now?
I don't know. He lives in Ireland, I think.
What?
Yeah, I think so. But when I met him, he was a super nice guy. I met Adrian Carmack at a bar in Texas, which was fucking awesome. And it was funny because he started telling me like, well, if you guys are going to make it, you know, we were in production on Doom Eternal. He's like, if you guys are going to make a Doom game, here's what we thought when we made Doom. And everything he listed, we were all like, that's what we think. You know, like he's like, we just did stuff that made us laugh and made us smile. I'm like, that's what we say. You know, like it was cool. He was super nice. So to me, id Software is kind of like Disney. Like they invented a genre and we are part of the new generation there. And we have a legacy to live up to. Like, yeah, it's a really special place to work. I've a tremendous amount of, I don't want to say pressure, but we're all motivated.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's, you know, you're working at the highest spot. That's like, if you go, I mean, if you think about it, like, it's like, if it's rap, you're at Death Row Records. You know what I mean? You're like at the highest spot.
And the coolest thing is like the type of games that they have always made, just they are able to get away with things that a lot of mainstream AAA games struggle with just because of how violent it is. I mean, they are like, again, it's Evil Dead 3 with a Transformers budget. Like, who the fuck gets to make that? Like,
right.
You know, like the shit you see, we spend a shitload of time making that stuff.
Oh, I can only imagine.
Whereas, like, in a lot of situations I've been in, it's like, yeah, we want to cut this dude in half. It's like, we don't have a lot of money for that dude, so do it pretty fast. You know, like, we're like, there are artists, like, craftsmen, you know, working on the entrails. Like, this looks pretty good. And literally the notes are like, I need, like, the intestine to kind of, like, flap a little when you get the thing off, you know, like, and
how do you know if you've crossed the line? Has there ever been a time when you had a scene and people, like, dial that back?
We actually, tonally, you know, you say, how do you start the project? It's kind of like, there's a fair amount of brainstorming, and the strength of any creative team is at least for a game, is how you brainstorm with each other. It's the synergy in that room has to be good. You got to be selfless. You got to show up. You got to be willing to support other ideas, other people's ideas as much as your own. We have a fucking amazing group in that regard. But tonally, we try to establish that like, look, guys, we're not making Saw. We're not making Hostile. It's not malicious. It's not meant to make you cringe. And we actually cut together a little video of like what we thought violence-wise was inappropriate and tonally felt off. And then we made another video of what felt right, and that was Evil Dead 2 with like, it's not a slow trickle of blood out of a sliced open wrist. It is some dude's head came off and Hawaiian Punch just starts fucking shooting out of his head. You know, like, that's really what it is. Like, it's cartoonish, you know?
Cartoonish and violence.
It goes so far that you, because the thing is, you do this so much, so often. I mean, you are murdering demons per minute. Like, I don't know what it is, but it's fucking crazy. if it was off-putting and realistic and kind of like, ooh, you'd be so turned off. It'd be sick. Like, you'd make you sick after a while. But so kind
of... That's a weird way of looking at it. I don't think you're right. What you're doing is like super gory and disgusting. You think somehow or another that will make you less sick? Well, that it was more realistic and less bloody?
Oh, for sure. I mean,
what?
Tonally, we could twist that where every one of those is mean-spirited and really off-putting, for sure. I mean,
okay, I don't want you to sell me some PR stuff to sort of defend your game against people that are anti-violence, because that's what it sounds like. What you're doing is super bloody and disgusting and violent. To say that somehow or another that is less off-putting than less gory is pretty – that's a ridiculous argument. I don't want you using it here or anywhere else.
Well, it's – Joseph, it is not this is no PR. This is legit.
It sounds like you've been coached.
No. Like, this is my message to the team. I mean, sincerely, like...
Okay, you're coaching them.
Well, because they make the content. So, right. Like, think of this. All right, I like this. Because this is the fucking truth. So, you look at Saw. You look at torture porn horror movies. They're cutting Achilles tendons with a fucking X-Acto knife. And the dude is screaming in pain. And he's a person. Like... This is gnarly shit. He doesn't look like he's having a good time. Like, versus on Evil Dead 2, when you lop off the head of that one grandma creature that comes up out of the basement and, like, fucking buckets of blood start coming out of her head.
Right. People, it's cartoonish.
Cartoonish. So, like, yeah. It's critical. Zero PR spin. That is, we have to believe that because, look, your design story is going to be exposed to the consumer in 2 fucking seconds. Like, they can see through your bullshit in 5 seconds. If they're like, dude, you're trying to sell... No, like... So we have to have an honest, good design story that we can stand behind that is true. And that is the truth. I mean, we basically looked at, like, cartoons and, like, make it over the top. The animation... So every time... Here's a perfect example. Every time you murder a cacodemon, which is those flying balls, you pull out their eyeball.
What is it called? A caca?
A cacodemon.
A caca? What's the... Spell it.
C-A-C... cac-o... Oh, C-A-C-O...
Don't you have kids? You have kids, right?
I do. I have 3 kids.
It's caca. You're saying caca demon. It's a poo-poo demon.
Sure. So every time you pull out his eyeball, you literally hear like a... I can't do it, but
yeah, sound
like a like a funny, cartoony sound, and that is absolutely intentional to take the edge off what you're doing. Because if it was more gruesome, and there like it's The Exorcist versus Evil Dead 2, those are tonally two completely different movies. You know, House was a movie that came out in the 80s that was inspired by Evil Dead. That's like a fucking comedy. I mean, it is a comedy, and it's a horror comedy versus The Exorcist, which is fucking amazing, but really. Very serious, you know? And that's how we're able to do what we do.
Okay, stop selling it. Stop selling the violence thing. I get it. I see what you're saying. What is this, a cacodemon? Yeah.
That's a cacodemon.
It's caca. That's poo-poo. It looks like poop. Like if you had a demon shit, that's what it would look like. Like, oh no, tearing you up on the way out. What is that, an original one?
That is the original cacodemon.
From the original Doom?
Yes.
Oh, cool. So it's an updated version of that, but, you know, just more graphically intense.
Yes.
So when you do something like this and you release this game, obviously there'll be patches and some upgrades and some different things that you do. But how long do you work on this game before you guys move on to the next thing?
We're already moving on to... Well, I don't want to say the next thing. That is a PR answer because I'm not allowed to say that. But
So you have ideas already?
Ideas,
that are
certainly.
Down the pipe.
And DLC. The DLC is guaranteed. Like,
what is that?
It's basically like a small episode of Doom that we would sell after
launch.
Why is
it called DLC?
Downloadable content, I believe, is what that sounds
for. Do you
think
that anyone would know what we were talking about right there?
I'm so used to...
Jamie would. But Jamie's a super nerd.
Yeah.
I'm so used to the gaming convention speak. But yes, it is down... Like, it's like an episode. Like, we made the movie, and now we're going to release, like, an HBO series of it.
Oh, okay. So you'll have this game, and then you'll have a bunch of other ones that are based off the same engine, same characters, different journeys, different things that'll come up?
Well, all centered around the Doom guy.
Yeah.
But, yeah, basically the adventures of Doom guy.
And how long do you do that for before you move on to the next game?
It's hard to say. You know, certainly we're always kind of dual-tracking things and talking and, you know, always, you know, because you never know when the cool idea is going to come along and you're kind of jotting down notes. I always have kind of my notepad out just thinking about stuff. Like, as I mean, you never know when it's going to
something cool, you know, you're playing something or you see something or watch something. So, and then we keep those conversations going on the side and see how it goes.
So is there any, do you guys like keep your eye open for like where VR is headed and things like that and go, well, not yet, we're not ready for that yet, but one day down the road, we'll have something like that?
Kind of a different, again, like we're like, it's sort of like with cars. I went to school for automotive design.
And, oh, really?
Yeah.
How'd you wind up in video games?
Just because I love video games. You know, the training in automotive design at Art. Have you ever been to Art Center?
No.
It's, dude, you should fucking go. It's fucking
Where
awesome.
Is it?
It's in Pasadena. And it's it's like the Harvard of design schools. Like, it's amazing. And they do cars there and products. But the cars that they have on display, you know, the big clay models about that big, they're fucking amazing. And really, really amazing place. But, you know, the design process that you learn there, you can apply to kind of anything. I would just say anything, but a lot of things. Certainly a video game, for sure. Because it's just kind of, it's actually the questions you're asking, which is like, how do you start from nothing to something, you know? Like, that involves large groups of people. And you kind of learn that there. I forgot your original question. But, oh, yeah, no, it's like, you know, so I use a lot of car analogies at the office quite a bit. And it's kind of like we make a race car. And if VR is something else, that's like an SUV, that's like just another kind of car. So, like, we kind of perfected how to make race cars. And it's been doing it since the 90s. So, mm-hmm. like, Doom Eternal is just another race car and a fleet.
I understand what you're saying. I'm just thinking that as augmented reality and then virtual reality become more and more accessible to consumers, I'm wondering, you know, like, where video games are headed. I'm wondering if you think that's where they're headed, or if you think there's always going to be a place for them on an actual video game.
I think
or on an actual computer, rather.
I think there'll always be a place for them in the actual video game. I think that's where my focus is. Other people like Carmack are looking to see where, well, not anymore, but where video games were going to go next. But I am fully focused on where they are now and how to make what they are now better.
Well, sure. Listen, man, you guys did a fucking amazing job. It looks really cool.
Thank you.
It looks really fun, and I'm sure people are going to waste massive chunks of their life and get a tremendous amount of entertainment out of it.
I hope so.
Anything else to tell us? We can go play now.
Let's really?
Play. Yeah.
That Quake Champions?
Yeah. Anything else?
We're good? I don't think so. I don't know.
So it's out?
It's a March 20th. Yes, Doom Eternal coming out March 20th.
Yeah. So not long, folks. Get your sweaty little hands ready, and we'll be available for PC, Xbox, everywhere at the same time?
All the platforms, everything, you know. Absolutely, yeah.
All right, beautiful.
Full tilt.
All right, man. Well, thanks for being here. Appreciate you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for doing what you do. You've wasted a lot of people's time. It's awesome.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Bye, everybody.